together our will in terms of deciding to commune with God and the Holy Spirit coming and meeting with us. I love the story of the woman with the alabaster jar, or the very expensive perfume, that we read in Luke 7. And that account of the story in Luke tells us that she was a sinful woman. Other accounts in the Bible, in Mark and even Matthew, don't really refer to her in such a way. But Luke says that she was a sinful woman. But she knew who Jesus was. And she decided to give him all that she had. She went and sat at his feet. And she poured the oil on his feet. She was crying. She knew that there was sin in her life. But she made a decision to get close to Jesus and poured everything that she had. And Jesus sees her heart and tells her that her heart, her sins are forgiven. And this was the person that took a decision to get close to Jesus. And Jesus comes and meets her. And this tells me, or reminds me, of her desire to really have a little bit of Jesus. There were people there looking at her, talking amongst each other, you know, what is she doing? Why would she do that? Why is Jesus even talking to her? She's a sinful woman. But in her heart, she had a desire to get close to Jesus. And it makes me ask myself the question, do I have that desire to sit at Jesus' feet? To have that relationship with God, to be as intimate as I can, to pour out everything I have, to be close to Jesus? Because out of that intimacy, out of that decision to come closer to Jesus, he says, draw near to me and I will draw near to you. And the Holy Spirit comes and meets with us. The other, let's just read what it says here. The true worship comes only from spirits made alive and sensitive by the quickening of the Spirit of God. When we come close to God and we make that decision, the Holy Spirit ignites something in our hearts. The next one is truth. So it says here, worshippers must worship in spirit and in truth. So truth. Now, if we take it from our point of view as Christians, we know that the truth is what the Word of God tells us. The truth is what God has revealed to us through Jesus. So worshiping in truth means being inspired by what we know. And it's important to bring this aspect into our worship, because lots of people worship many things that are not God. So what we do know here is extremely important. Lots of people worship other gods, as we know. Lots of people don't worship much. They're just quite abstract, but they like that and they have some meditation into the abstract. And I'm not going to necessarily say that I dislike it, but that's not worshiping God. So when Jesus says here to worship in truth, it means inspired by what we know of him. Our understanding of who God is and what he has done. So that's why really understanding, knowing our Bible, understanding what is it that I know is extremely important so that our worship is complete. So who is God? I'm going to read to you from Isaiah. And this verse, I probably read it before here, but it's a verse that every time I read it, it causes something in my heart. It just really expresses. It's not all there is about God, but it just shows us how powerful he is. Let me read it to you. Do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been told to you from the beginning? Have you not understood since the earth was founded? He sits enthroned above the circles of the earth, and its people are like grasshoppers. He stretches out the heavens like a canopy and spreads them out like a tent to live in. He brings princesses to naught and reduces the rulers of this world to nothing. No sooner are they planted, no sooner are they sown, no sooner do they take root in the ground, then he blows on them and they wither, and a whirlwind sweeps them away like chaff. To whom will you compare me? Or who is my equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes and look to the heavens, who created all these? He who brings out the starry host one by one and calls forth each of them by name. Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. Why do you complain, Jacob? Why do you say, Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, my cause is disregarded by my God? Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. When I read these words, it really, there's something in my heart that just says, don't you just know, Jenny, that the God is the powerful, almighty God, creator of the universe? That who he is, who God is. He gives strength to the weary. He doesn't need to rest. He's everlasting. He's powerful. He's the creator almighty. He's bigger than the rulers of the universe. Who is his equal? So when Jesus talks about worshipping in spirit and in truth, he's saying, let's be inspired. Let's worship from a place where we know who God is. Let our minds be renewed by the knowledge that God is who he says he is. And yes, things happen in life and we doubt. And things happen in life and we forget. But I just pray that this morning we'll be reminded that wherever you might be, whatever situation you might be going through, that God is who he says he is. And then the other aspect to do with worshipping in truth is not just who he is, but what he has done. And Romans 5:6-14 summarizes some of the greatest truths that we know as Christians. It says this, you see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we will also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. So what do we know? That God loved us so much that even when we were still in our sin, he died for us so that we could be reconciled to him. If there's nothing else that causes you to worship God, I hope that this does. Now there are many things that can distract us, that can hinder true worship. And this is where sometimes maybe we can come here even and worship with an empty heart. And I don't think it's necessarily wrong in itself, but we want to be in a place where we worship with a full heart. Now, why do I say that sometimes it's not necessarily wrong to worship with an empty heart? Because very often we need to be worshiping from a place of sacrifice. Of saying, maybe, God, I know you're this. Maybe, God, I know you're that. But I'm not in that place. I have had pain in my heart. I have been going through this situation. And I don't feel like worshiping you. And there have been times when that's happened to me. I'm standing there thinking, Lord, I know who you are. I know what you have done. But this inside my heart is hindering me. It's not allowing me to worship you in the way that I do. But I still want to stand here and just acknowledge that. And the Lord takes that. And we read in the Psalms of how God wants us to come with all our burdens, with all our pain, as well as our joys and our happiness. And he takes it all. But also, sometimes we can be worshiping out of a lack of intimacy with God. Out of just thinking that we can just live a Christian life without communing with him. And yes, we can. But that's not the plan God has for us. When we become Christians, we give our lives to Jesus, and that is just the beginning of our journey. We cannot expect God to work in our lives and for the Holy Spirit to do the things that he wants to do in our lives if we don't have communion with him. And this is for me. In my busyness, I think that I can live sometimes off the breakthroughs of 10 years ago or 5 years ago. And yes, God helps us to remember those, and that helps us to praise him. But he wants us to live a daily life that is in communion with him. That tomorrow I can say, God had a breakthrough in my life yesterday, not 10 years ago. Because there are things in my life that I still need to be dealt with, that God needs to do and transform. And that doesn't come without that intimacy with God. Other things that hinder true worship is the lack of understanding of who he is. So if you're in a place this morning when you haven't had that encounter with Jesus, you might be in a place where you think, well, I hadn't actually thought about that. And I would encourage you to join a life group, that's my plug, and share with other people and learn about who God is. Read your Bible. Seek him in the secret and quiet place. Other things that hinder true worship can also be unrepentance and guilt over sin. Now, a great example of this was David. In 2 Samuel, we see his story of how he sinned, and it was a big sin. Not just with a woman. He killed her husband, and we heard about that, I think it was last week as well. And he then writes a psalm in Psalm 32 when he is confessing his sin. And it's an acknowledgement that without confessing our sins, the fellowship with God is affected. But then in that same psalm, it goes on to confess his sins and his fellowship with God is restored. And then he goes on to write Psalm 33, which is a psalm of praise and worship that comes from a place of repentance. And the last thing that can hinder true worship, and this is what I think it's a big thing, is the distractions of this world. our minds and hearts get full of lots of things. Our minds and hearts get full of worries, of broken relationships, distractions of busyness, adverts, money, so much that comes in. Distractions of anxieties over our children, anxieties over what school they should go to, which are things that we need to think about. But let us be in a place where we don't let other things take the place that God deserves. Let me read to you what Romans 12 says, because this is key to really living a life of worship that is not just on a Sunday morning. Romans 12, it says this: "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." If our minds and hearts are full of other things other than who God is and what he has done, if we don't meditate in him and allow the Holy Spirit to ignite that passion in our hearts, and if we allow distractions of many kinds to flood our hearts and minds, then we won't be able to worship God with a full heart. The Father is seeking true worshippers that will worship him in spirit and in truth, with hearts that are full of respect, honor, admiration, and submission to him. And I'll just finish with this. In the Bible, the biggest book of the Bible is Psalms. So although worship, I'm talking about it as a lifestyle, as a constant communion with God, a reflection of what God has done in our lives in a daily living, on Sunday mornings, we come together to worship as a reminder of who he is. So the words that we sing is declaring, reminding ourselves, reminding the enemy that God is greater, that God is bigger, that God is who he says he is. We declare his promises. We claim his promises through what we sing. So worship, sung worship, is very important. The biggest book of the Bible is Psalms, which is a prayer and a songbook. And its purpose is to provide poetry for the expression of praise and worship and confession to God. So God knows how important music is. Not just, you know, in church, we see it. Music just dominates everything. Why? Because music has the power to do something in our hearts, to move us to be in a different place. God created that for us. And we use it back to declare who he is, to claim his promises. So let's take the opportunity when we come together. It's only 1 hour a week. An hour and a half. Let's take this opportunity to really build each other up. When I see you worshiping, it makes me worship. Why? Because I say, God has been so good to that person. They've been blessed. Hallelujah. Praise God. And that's what we need to do as a church. If we want to be a healthy church, we need to be people who come here with its sole purpose of being a blessing to one another and blessing God. Now, if you're not in that place, it's okay. And we need to pray and sit alongside you. But our purpose is to declare who God is. And we're going to just listen to a video quickly. And then we're going to come into a time of worship. just as a response to God. God is seeking people who will worship Him in spirit and in truth.